beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything. And he also created Adam and Eve. They were with him in the garden. And then there was a temptation. And Adam and Eve fell into sin. And sin caused death, spiritual death. And God sent them out of the garden. And what did God do? God went with them. When they left, he left. Cain had a thought. I want to kill my brother. And God said, Cain, watch out. Sin is crouching at your door. It wants to devour you. Cain went ahead and killed his brother. And God came to him and said, where is your brother? He said, my brother's keeper. And what did God do? God put a mark on him, a sign that nobody should lay a hand on him. Nobody should take vengeance on him. Nobody should kill him. The murderer received a sign from Almighty God. Go a little bit further along, and we come to Abraham. God makes a promise to Abraham that he will have a miracle child. He couldn't have children. Abraham decides that he's going to take matters into his own hands. The slave girl's pretty good looking anyway. And has a child with the slave girl. And what does God do? God blesses that child. And he gives them the miracle child that he promised. Go a little bit further along in the Bible and we get to David. God says to David, David, I'm going to have somebody from your family on my throne forever and ever. This is my promise. David likes hot tubs. David and Bathsheba have a child. He goes so far that he even has her husband killed in battle. And what does God do? God comes to him. And God fulfills his promise to David that somebody from his line will be on his throne forever. And even blesses a child from David and Bathsheba. This continues to happen. God's people keep breaking God's laws, God's covenant. And God keeps finding the people, keeps coming to them. We get to the book of Isaiah. We find the people of Israel are terrible, sin-filled, awful people, murderous. God says, you deserve to be judged. You deserve to be exiled because of your behavior. And then what does God do? He says, I remember when you were little, when you were a little child. I remember what you were like. He says, my heart is changed within me. All my compassion is around. I can't do this. I love you so much. And God promises that he'll send prophets who will lead and guide the people of Israel. This carries on and carries on. And eventually God says, you know what? I need to come down there and sort this thing out myself. And we find Jesus Christ born, the incarnation of God. There's a woman at a well. She's had one husband, one divorce, another husband, didn't work out, second divorce, another husband, third divorce, another husband, fourth divorce, another husband, fifth divorce. Jesus finds this lady at the well. You have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. And there's a lot of implications in that statement. It could be somebody else's husband. Who knows? And he's saying to the lady, he says, I know your problem. You're thirsty. And nothing that you've been trying has quenched that thirst. You thought it was a physical thirst. It's not. It's a spiritual thirst. And I will fill you with living water. And you will never be thirsty again. This lady at the well is so changed by these words, by this encounter with Almighty God, that she goes on to be an evangelist. She goes on to be an evangelist to the people of Samaria, the first evangelist, equal to the apostles. She's Saint Potina. She has such a radical encounter with God that her children go on to be evangelists as well. And the Romans are not keen on this, and they are so anti the Christian movement that they cut off her children's limbs and they refuse to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. They throw her down a well. Nero throws her down a well. Brings her up again. She does not renounce. Throws her down a well a second time and she dies. Why is she so resolute in her faith? She had a real encounter with Almighty God. He came and found her. And it's an event that changed her life forever. There's a man. Just say he's got short man syndrome. He's up a tree. Jesus comes along and says, hey, Zacchaeus. Now Zacchaeus, you must know, is not a very nice man. He's a tax collector. Not only does he collect taxes for the Romans, but he actually cheats his people because he takes more than he should. He doesn't give it all to the Romans. So they don't like him because he's collecting for the Romans. They don't like him because they know that he's dishonest. And what does Jesus say? Hey, I'll be your friend. I want to have dinner with you. I want to come and eat in your home. And when you have a meal with somebody, you dignify that person. What happened with Zacchaeus was so different, so revolutionary, that he says, hey, I'm going to pay back the people that I've taken money from fraudulently. I'm going to pay it back with interest. And whatever I've got left, I'm going to give half of it to the poor. And he does that, radically transformed, because God came and found this man. There's a lady. Oh, there's a man. He's born cripple. Now, in those days, if you were born cripple, it was because you were cursed. That's what they thought. And you were cursed if you had sin, or if your parents had sin, or if your grandparents had sin. You were cursed. That's what they thought. We only think it's silly now because of Jesus, but that's what the people really thought. He did have four friends. They took him and they lowered him down to where Jesus was. And as Jesus is preaching, he sees some plaster falling from the roof. And then a man appears before him. And what does he say? He says, hey, let's just take this off the table. Your sins are forgiven. If you think that's why you're like this, it's not that at all. Your sins are forgiven. And then he says, get up. Pick up your bed. Pick up your mat. Walk. God finds this man and steps into his world and changes him forever. There's a woman caught in adultery. She's been set up. There's no man. Where's the man? There's no man. And she's only been set up so that they can set up Jesus. That's what the scripture tells us. So she's thrown down in front of him and they say, you know, Moses' law said that we must stone this woman. What do you say? It's a trap. What does God do? He kneels down next to the woman and starts writing in the sand. And one by one, those that wanted to throw those stones leave. And he says to her, where are your accusers? She says, they're gone. Says, well then, go and sin no more. Or I will condemn you. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say anything like that. He says, go and sin no more. He's saying, go and have a fresh start. The slate is wiped clean. You're new. It's as if God doesn't remember the sin in your life. Brand new start for you. There's a demonized man. Oh, I wanted to say that quote, didn't I? Just go one back, hey? Neither do I. She didn't need to be threatened out of her sin. She was graced into a new life. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. So there's a demonized man. He's out of his mind. His spirit is so chained up that they physically have to tie him in chains to restrain him. He doesn't wear any clothes. He's a naked man running around. Lives in a cemetery. And as Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee, as he comes to the beach, he steps onto the beach and the forces of evil shudder as Jesus appears. And he seeks out that man. And he sets the man free. Heals his mind, heals his heart. The man is so radically transformed, he says, I want to go with you. I want to be part of what you're doing. And Jesus says, no, no. Just go and tell people the good news. Go and tell them the good news. There's a man that in the hardness of his heart, he condemns Jesus to death. Pontius Pilate. There are some soldiers that in the hardness of their heart, they beat him and crucify him. There's the Sanhedrin. In the hardness of their heart, they plot against Jesus Christ. And what does he do? As Jesus hangs on the cross, he says, I forgive you. I forgive you. And at that moment, as Jesus hangs on the cross, we have a revelation of how radical the love Jesus has really is. We see clearly the love that he has for lost people. We see clearly his radical, loving, graceful nature. And we also see that Satan, sin, death are conquered. Finished. There's a sermon that was written in the 300s, and it's in the Eastern Orthodox Church that this particular sermon is still preached every Easter, word for word. I'm just going to give you the last two paragraphs of this sermon. Let no one fear death, for the Savior's death has set us free. He that was taken by death has annihilated it. He descended into Hades and he took Hades captive. He embittered it when it tasted his flesh. Anticipating this, Isaiah exclaimed, Hades was embittered when it encountered thee in the lower region. It was embittered for it was abolished. It was embittered for it was mocked. It was embittered for it was purged. It was embittered for it was despoiled. It was embittered for it was bound in chains. It took a body and came upon God. It took earth and encountered heaven. It took what it saw but crumbled before what had not been seen. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Christ is risen and you are overthrown. Christ is risen and the demons are fallen. Christ is risen and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen and life reigns. Christ is risen and not one dead remains in the tomb. For Christ, being raised from the dead, has become the first fruit of them who have slept. To him be glory and might upon ages and ages. Amen. 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 Notice the direction of the chairs. You might have noticed as I was speaking, we run away. We run away. God comes and he finds us. We leave him, turn our backs on him. He pursues us. He radically transforms our lives. And he wants to continue doing that. He will not let us go. As we fall into sin, he says, "Son, what are you doing? Son, what are you doing?" Even if I make my bed in hell, you are there. The other version of that is, even if I make my bed in Sheol, there you are. Wherever we are, God is there. He doesn't leave us. He follows us. He finds us. His love endures forever. In that particular psalm, 26 times, his love endures forever. His love endures forever. His mercies are new every morning. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Does that sound like it's going to run out? No. No. He's relentless in his pursuit of us. It's a finished work. This is done. God in Christ has come to seek and to save the lost. Some people have run a long way from God. Not feeling very fit this morning. And what does God do? He runs after us. And if we run way over here, he runs after us. He continues to pursue us. He wants to find us. And then Sunday, if we've had our midlife crisis or whatever we're going to do, there's a place where sometimes we just have to stop. And we just have to stop running and just say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Yes, Lord, I'm finished running from you." Some people are right there this morning, ready to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm right there with you." Won't you stand with me, please? I'd like to invite you to close the eyes of your body and open the eyes of your heart. Look into the eyes of Jesus as he stands before you this morning. Lord Jesus, this is the moment that you've been waiting for. Just look into Jesus' face. Eyes can say a lot of different things. And as you look into the eyes of Jesus, just hear what he's saying to you this morning. Just hear what he's saying to you this morning. Listen to his voice. Does anybody want to just say what Jesus is saying to them this morning? Where there is faith, there is no fear. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I love you. I know what you've gone through. It's really, really hard. I know what you've gone through. You have been redeemed. You are my child. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. Thank you, Lord, that you've spoken to us particularly powerfully this morning. Thank you for your relentless pursuit of us, Lord. Lord, thank you that you don't turn your back on us, Lord, that wherever we are, you seek us out. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so incredibly, that you don't just leave us. If you've never had a chance to walk in step with Jesus, maybe today is the day you want to do that. Or you just want to say, Lord, here I am. I'm finished running. I'm finished running. I just want to be a part of what you're doing, Lord. Come into my life. You maybe just want to sit on that chair that's been right in front of God for so long and just say, Lord, here I am. Do that this morning in your heart. As he's speaking to you with his eyes, just speak to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are a loving God, that you are incredible, that your grace is more than we can even imagine, that your love is so, so large. Thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us, that you love us. Bless us now in your mighty and glorious name. Amen.